Hello, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome to the Vecima Networks second quarter fiscal year 2018 earnings conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Analysts and institutional investors who wish to join the question queue, simply press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before pressing any keys. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. Presenting today on behalf of Vecima Networks are Sumit Kumar, President and CEO, and John Hanna, CFO. Today's call will begin with executive commentary on Vecima's financial and operating performance for the second quarter fiscal year 2018 results. Lastly, the call will finish with a question and answer period for analysts and institutional investors. The press release announcing the company's second quarter fiscal year 2018 results, as well as detailed supplemental investor information, are posted on Vecima's website at www.vecima.com under the investor heading. The highlights provided in this call should be understood in conjunction with the company's unaudited condensed consolidated financial statements and accompanying notes for the 3 and 6 months ended December 31st, 2017, which will be available on SEDAR or www.vecima.com. Certain statements in this conference call and webcast may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws. All statements other than the statements of historical fact are forward-looking statements. These statements include, but are not limited to, statements regarding management's intentions, belief, or current expectations with respect to market and general economic conditions, future sales and revenue expectations, future costs, and operating performance. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict and or are beyond our control. A number of important factors could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. These factors include, but are not limited to, the current significant general economic uncertainty and financial market volatility and the distinctive characteristics of Vecima's operations and industry and customer demand that may have a material impact on or constitute risk factors in respect of Vecima's future financial performance, as set forth under the heading Risk Factors in the company's annual information form dated September 25, 2017, a copy of which is available at www.sedar.com. In addition, although the forward-looking statements in this earnings call are based on what management believes are reasonable assumptions, such assumptions may prove to be incorrect. Consequently, attendees should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking statements. In addition, these forward-looking statements relate to the date on which they are made. Vecima disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Kumar to proceed with his remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. We continue to lay the foundation for Vecima's future growth this past quarter with strong progress on our Entra products and the completion of an acquisition that gives us entry into the rapidly growing IP video storage, delivery, and streaming market. I'm going to begin today with a brief overview of Q2 financial highlights and some of our key achievements. John will follow with our second quarter financial review, and then I'll return to talk about our outlook going forward. Financially, the second quarter played out largely as we expected during this transition year. We achieved revenues of $14.8 million and adjusted EBITDA of $3.6 million. We also ended the quarter with cash balances of $61 million, even after closing the concurrent acquisition, which was funded entirely with cash. That means we continue to have a very strong financial position from which to fund our future growth and development, including continued development of our promising Entra family of products. Entra is the new DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access architecture product line we're developing in response to the major industry shift towards gigabit speed broadband access. Our distributed access node is the heart of our solution and provides a modular platform for deployment of multiple access technologies. We've come a long way with the Remote PHY Access node in just a few short quarters, and we're very pleased with our state of progress, technically and with customers. During Q2, we demonstrated further interoperability of our Remote PHY Access node at industry events, along with additional features such as video traffic generation that are required for deployment-ready distributed access nodes. Customer interest in the solution is very strong, and we're now working on several RFPs for Entra Remote PHY and related products. Looking at our progress in some of the other products in the Entra family, we initiated lab testing for our Entra Legacy QAM adapter in Q2 at various MSOs. The Legacy QAM adapter allows operators to leverage their existing installed Edge QAM infrastructure to allow for the new Remote PHY and Remote MAC-PHY deployments. This minimizes new head-end equipment requirements for video services in distributed access architecture environments, and it overcomes several of the interoperability risks. It also easily supports mixed deployments of centralized and distributed access architectures. Overall, our Entra LQA platform provides a clean, simple, and cost-effective solution for providing video services. Also during the quarter, we shipped the first set of our Entra Access Switch for lab testing to potential customers. Capable of supporting multiple services, including carrier Ethernet and distributed access traffic aggregation, our award-winning Entra Access Switch is getting noticed as a strong solution in the broadband access space. As a first-of-its-kind outdoor Ethernet switch, it's also highly suitable for any type of deployment environment and designed to significantly extend network capacity. Overall, we're very pleased with our progress with Entra. We're working closely with a wide base of Tier 1 to Tier 3 MSOs on their upcoming plans for DOCSIS 3.1, and we're continuing to attract interest from a broad range of customers, including some of the largest Tier 1 MSOs globally. We're taking the right steps to position Vecima at the forefront of this major industry evolution. Another major Q2 achievement I want to talk about today is our acquisition of the IP video content delivery and storage business of Concurrent Computer Corporation. We closed that transaction on December 31st, and with it, we've now gained a strong position in the large and rapidly growing market for IP video. Let me comment briefly on the importance and relevance of this market to us. Global demand for video content delivery and storage is growing rapidly, driven by a huge increase in consumption as consumers turn to streaming services and cable operators make vast arrays of new IP video available to subscribers. The cable MSOs are also pursuing new DVR opportunities that shift delivery and storage away from traditional set-top storage models to cloud-based models. We believe the transition to IP video is one of the two most important evolutions taking place in the industry today. The other, of course, is gigabit broadband access, which we're tackling with Entra, and these two opportunities are closely interrelated. Vecima's award-winning gigabit access platforms, combined with Concurrent's leading-edge IP CDN and storage, is an ideal pairing. It positions us as a leading solution provider for both of these key markets. Once again, IP video is the underlying pressure point behind the scale-up in internet access taking place today. And with increases in broadband internet access speeds, more and more IP video services will flow over the network. So far, we've had just a little over a month working with the Concurrent team, but we're already very impressed with their people, their products, and their R&D engine, along with their focus on customer service, a core value of Vecima's. On the product side, the transaction has brought us four excellent new product families that will begin contributing to our results in Q3. These include a query storage, a software-defined storage platform that dramatically improves the manageability, performance, and total cost of ownership of software-defined storage, Laguna Cache, a comprehensive multi-tiered caching solution that enables MSOs to deliver content quickly and easily regardless of their customer's device or location, Zephyr Origin, which is a feature-rich origin platform for ingesting, hosting, and distributing IP video content to any device, anytime, over any network, and Zephyr Transcode, software which enables service providers, broadcasters, and content owners to encode video content with unsurpassed quality and scale across the multiple formats that are required for any screen. You'll hear me talking more about these industry-leading products in the coming quarters. In the future, we'll be exploring the synergies and opportunities that exist between Vestima and Concurrence operations, technologies, and customer relationships. It's early days, but we're already very excited about the potential we see. Overall, it's been a productive and promising second quarter and first half of the fiscal 2018 year. And at this point, I'll ask John to review our second quarter results with you in more detail.
Thank you, Sumit. For the purposes of this call, we assume that everyone has seen the news release and financial statements for the fiscal 2018 second quarter that are posted on Vestima's website. I will present the relevant numbers in discussions around overall results, market segments, operational expenses, and the balance sheet. I'll start with consolidated sales. For the 3 months ended December 31st, 2017, we generated sales of $14.8 million. This was 27% lower than in the same quarter last year and 1% lower than compared to Q1 fiscal 2018. In the Video and Broadband Solutions segment, second quarter sales of $13.4 million were down 29% year-over-year, but fairly similar to the $13.6 million achieved in Q1 2018. Looking at specific product families within this segment, Terrace family sales of $8.5 million were down about 3% year-over-year. This reflects lower demand as some customers neared the end of their digital network conversions and sales of our TC1200 and TC600 slowed. However, on a sequential quarterly basis, Terrace family sales increased by 16% as one of our Tier 1 customers increased purchases of the TC600E. Terrace QAM sales of $4.2 million decreased by 33% year-over-year, in line with our expectations. The lead MSO customer for Terrace QAM purchased significant quantities of new platforms in the first half of fiscal 2017 and has been drawing down inventory since then. However, our platform enhancement for new video compression to Terrace QAM bolstered sales on a sequential quarterly basis. Q2 sales were up 24% quarter over quarter, and we expect further upgrade-related sales going forward. As expected, DVAP sales were nil for the second quarter, which is consistent with last year's results. However, that was down from sales of $1.6 million in the first quarter of fiscal 18, when we rolled out the new DVAP software upgrade to our lead customer. With that order complete, we don't expect any further significant activity for this upgrade in the near term. Over time, however, we expect it will help to increase the pace of DVAP deployment among MSOs as they prepare for distributed access architecture, which cannot be supported by legacy devices. Turning to our telematics segment, sales in the second quarter remained solid at $1.4 million. This was on par with the $1.4 million we achieved a year ago and a little higher than the $1.3 million in Q1 fiscal 2018. Looking at Vestima's business as a whole, we achieved a consolidated gross margin of 52% in the second quarter, consistent with last year's results, but down from 57% in Q1. Keep in mind that our Q1 margins were stronger than normal due to high-margin DVAP software sales recorded during that period. Second quarter R&D expenses increased slightly to $3.0 million from $2.9 million last year. As always, I note that reported R&D expense in a period is typically different than the actual expenditure. That's because certain R&D expenditures are deferred until products are in commercial development. Adjusting for deferrals, amortization of deferred development costs, and income tax credits, actual R&D investment for the second quarter increased to $5.7 million from $5.3 million a year ago. This increase reflects the ramp-up of investment to support the launch of new products, including our new Entra platform and related products, and is primarily associated with the increased use of subcontractors. Turning to sales and marketing expenses, these decreased to $1.1 million year-over-year, primarily reflecting finished goods, inventory allowances, and warranty expenses last year. On a sequential quarterly basis, sales and marketing expenses were unchanged from Q1 to Q2. G&A expenses increased slightly year-over-year to $2.5 million from $2.4 million. However, on a quarter-over-quarter basis, G&A was down by $0.1 million. This reflects higher acquisition-related costs in the first quarter as we were working on the concurrent transaction. Operating income for the second quarter was $1.1 million as compared to $4.0 million a year ago. Lower sales and gross profit, together with the slight increase in operating expenses, were the key factors here. On a sequential quarterly basis, operating income was down $0.6 million from Q1 of this year for the same reasons. We achieved second quarter net income from continuing operations of $1.3 million or 6 cents per share. This compares to $3.4 million or 15 cents per share in Q2 last year and is driven primarily from lower sales and gross profit in the current period. On a quarter-over-quarter basis, net income from continuing operations was up $0.4 million sequentially from Q1 to Q2 of this year. Turning to the balance sheet, we ended the second quarter with cash and short-term investments of $61 million. This was after completing the acquisition of Concurrent for $29.0 million U.S. plus an estimated working capital adjustment of $0.7 million. The previous estimate on that adjustment had been $1.5 million. This working capital adjustment will be finalized according to the asset purchase agreement over the next couple of months. Our own working capital had decreased to $83.7 million at quarter end, largely reflecting our acquisition of the Concurrent assets. The acquisition also drove up the balances for intangible assets and goodwill that are a result of allocating the purchase price of the transaction. Finally, second quarter cash flow from continuing operations, excluding non-cash working capital, was $3.4 million. Overall, our results were largely consistent with our expectations for the second quarter of the fiscal 2018 transition year. Following our investments in the second quarter, we're moving forward as a larger company with a broader range of products, while still continuing to benefit from a very strong financial position. Now back to Sumit.
Thank you, John. Before I provide our business outlook, I want to note that as of Q3, we have changed organization of Vecima from two business segments into three. The new segment is called Content Delivery and Storage and includes our new Concurrent operations. I'll provide our outlook for the second half of fiscal 2018 within the context of these three segments. In our Video and Broadband Solutions segment, we continue to view fiscal 2018 as a transition year as the North American cable industry prepares to deploy DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access architecture. Our investment in Entra is yielding the industry-leading ecosystem of distributed access platforms that's attracted strong engagements with MSOs, including the Tier 1s. We are well on our way in the sequence of RFIs, RFPs, trials, and deployment tied to customer plans. With that said, it's always the case that the timing of the volume phase of the market remains subject to changes, and many MSOs have already adjusted their upgrade rollout plans. Accordingly, while volume sales during calendar 2018 remain possible, our current view of the industry state is that volume rollout won't start until late in the year. At the same time, we expect demand for some of our legacy products will continue to taper off as market saturation is reached and customers prepare for next-generation products and technologies. Helping to offset this impact will be the contribution from our new Concurrent operations. We'll have a full quarter of revenue and EBITDA contribution in Q3, and the outlook for this segment is positive. Near-term demand is robust as we respond to the cable industry's need to deliver increasing content over an IP framework, and the mid-to-longer-term outlook is also promising. Like Vecima, the Concurrent operations are actively engaged in new product development to fuel longer-term growth. In our Telematics segment, demand is expected to remain solid through the balance of fiscal 2018. We also see some new opportunities associated with asset tracking, winter operations, and compliance with the U.S. trucking industry's adoption of new hours of service requirements. Overall, we expect fiscal 2018 will be a year of continued investment and development as we position Vecima for industry leadership in each of our three broad markets. We're making excellent progress with our new technologies. The Concurrent acquisition has opened up important new markets and opportunities. We believe we're very well positioned. Our momentum is building, and we look forward to updating you on our progress over the coming quarters. That concludes our formal comments for today. We'd now be happy to take questions. Operator?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts and institutional investors who would like to ask a question, please press star and one on their touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone indicating that you have joined the question queue. For participants using a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. There will be a brief moment while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from David Kwan of PI Financial. Please go ahead.
I was wondering, just as it relates to the legacy video business, I saw a nice tick up here on the Terrace Guam sales quarter over quarter. Just want to get your expectations for how you see that those, I guess, product lines in particular playing out through the second half of this year, and what kind of visibility you guys might have on that.
Sure. So, David, I'll start with Terrace to kind of break it down a little bit. So, you know, we have seen incremental pickup as of Q2, and, you know, break that down into the key kind of customer engagements we're tracking. So with respect to the lead U.S. MSO customer first, they, again, have been in network fill-in mode for several years at this point, and we're continuing to see them graduating out of their built-up inventory they built on the TC1200 with very aggressive purchasing activity. And for the TC600, on the other hand, that product is continuing to roll out in network fill-in type volumes, and their inventory in that SKU is substantially lower. So that's a good trend to see and reflects evidence on their feedback to us that the entire lineup of our commercial video platforms are core to their, you know, blueprint for commercial video, and they're rolling out additional properties all the time in network fill-in, so that's good on that hand. But on the other hand, you know, given that that particular MSO has been deploying a network fill-in for a long period of time, upwards of 7 or 8 years, we're being mindful if the saturation effect is taking place. You know, again, given that there are only so many commercial properties within a footprint of a given MSO. So, you know, their inventory-related slowdown on the TC1200 has been persistent for quite some time now, and you know, the forecast suggests that it will continue to be that way for some time, but the TC600 is continuing to roll. So for the time being then on the lead MSO, things are running fairly lean on the family overall, but looking outward as we approach calendar 2019, there are signs of a new market cycle that we've talked about in commercial video solutions, taking them towards an IPTV-oriented feed. And what's exciting for us about that is not only are we looking at sustaining the new product, new property sign-on with network fill-in, but we're also looking at the potential for a swap-out scenario of the existing deployed base, so that's quite exciting, but it's in the future. Two other Tier 1 MSOs we've been talking about rolling out network-wide scale for the last period of time. The first of those did transition to network fill-in a few quarters ago, and their purchases, you know, correspondingly pulled back quite a bit from the all-digital rollout phase, which, as you know, is the volume conversion phase. But starting as early as this fiscal year, though, there's a potential uplift coming from that MSO as they look to increase channel counts at the existing properties. So we expect that could lead to a nice resurgence of some of the strong, you know, scale deployment that they drove before during the all-digital conversion. The second tier one, you know, had been lumpy as of a few quarters ago in the midst of, you know, being in the middle of their all-digital conversion. Some of the merger type influences we've talked about. But as of Q1 and Q2, their conversion started to come into focus again, you know, strong rollout heading into calendar 18. And, you know, our best estimate of their percent completion all digital conversion is somewhere in the range of 65-70%. So we're ongoing there as we get into calendar 18. So taking that all into aggregate, that was very long-winded, but I wanted to work through the three key customers there. So fiscal 18, we're looking strong overall for Terrace family. Second half, calendar 18 also shows some continued activity. We may see a bit of pullback from the two tier ones as we start to approach the end of the conversion phase at one of them. You know, and then beyond that, as we get into calendar 19, the best prospects for us are around the IPTV-centric cycle that we see coming for the market cycle. On, you know, Terrace Guam, again, you know, comparing fiscal 18 to 17, we were expecting quite a bit of a rebound in fiscal 17 because we started that MPEG-4 upgrade program with the lead US MSO, went into wide deployment with that, we went region by region fiscal 17. So the results that year were basically at parity with fiscal 16. But backdropping this, although the upgrades were driving us into a good spot for TQ through fiscal 17, new system sales of that lead MSO came down quite a bit with having inventory in place. So now looking back at fiscal 18 this year, indications from that lead MSO, indicate that they're fairly good penetration rate for the MPEG-4 upgrade kits. By the end of calendar 17, they'd hit that. And, as we know, that revolves around allowing the TVs to support newer compression, which saves a bunch of network capacity. So very important, but they're at a good penetration rate now. So we've had a scenario where the upgrades have kept things relatively level, fiscal 16, 17, lumpiness aside, maintained for the first half of fiscal 18. But our second half visibility on TQ with that customer is getting a bit more opaque. We're starting to see those upgrades potentially winding down and continued influence of that inventory on the systems. We did do a new software release for another upgrade cycle around audio compression, again unlocking more network capacity. But the timing of the MSO to launch that network program is still not cemented. So, although we view that as driving the penetration rate for the upgrade kits up, it's timing is unknown at this point.
Yeah, Matt. Great color. On the IPTV side, it sounds like it's a kind of calendar 19 opportunity for you guys. Can you talk about, when we can get some more news as to, what you guys have from a product standpoint? But also, how you see that, those revenues ramping up and
sure.
Terms of the overall opportunity, is it something similar that we've seen in the past with Terrace and TQ?
On the positive front, it does have some good scale associated with it that we've seen potential for with what we're talking about with a conversion, if you will, again, from the current base of commercial video platforms that we've deployed. We've deployed 25,000 properties, domestic Tier 1 MSOs of our Terrace and Terrace QAM platforms. As you go to an IPTV network and feeding fiber to these properties, the concept that we've effectively built this market of bulk commercial video without requiring set-top boxes on the TV sets, and that's been very successful for the MSOs. So we're able to re-up on that and create a new set of platforms that can take the IPTV on the ingest side, still output a bulk service within the property. However, eliminating the set-top boxes, and that gives you all those usual advantages of Terrace and Terrace QAM, the deployment velocity, the turn on the set-top boxes, the sheer economics. So, that's all coming into play. It is a development program, based off the Terrace QAM platform with several new boards and, a large software project. So it's going to take some time to develop, and we're still progressing on the customer engagement side. Yes, calendar 19, things going well. We could swing early in that year. And, collectively, lifetime market size of that could be as big as Terrace QAM.
And on the Terrace DVB side, can you provide an update there? It looks like there wasn't much going on, at least in terms of sales to international markets this quarter. I'm curious to see how that's rolling out or the pilot program, I guess, is going.
Yeah, so again, you're correct that we're not through to sales as of Q2 in Terrace DVB. I mentioned that we're engaged there with effectively a local footprint of a very large Tier 1 European MSO, and we're into trials there. We are in the final stages of that trial. We want to take it one step at a time, get the technical side through, and then work at that local footprint and get the deployment that they envision through, and then we'll have that hunting license aspect to go spread it out into that Tier 1 MSO. Plus, we'll have the case study that we can take throughout Europe. Again, with Terrace QAM domestically, we had a very strong lead U.S. MSO that caught on to the model, deployed it very heavily, and was very successful providing HD service over that platform. That, we believe, can continue to be the case in the European market with this platform. We want to start and get that initial case study, get through the technical side, and have it fully fleshed out, and then head over to, you know, broadening out from there. So we're quite tuned into that and expect to, you know, drive that forward in the next few quarters.
And on the Entra side, are you still kind of expecting field trials in the middle of this calendar year? And then I guess, you know, kind of more commercial orders coming in the second half?
So, you know, with respect to Entra, I wanted to set the stage on a couple of different areas thereof. You know, first we have our state of our engineering development, and then talking a bit more about the state of the market. So starting with our development, you know, we're five products deep in the ecosystem now, Mac 5, Remote 5, Convertible, Switch, Legacy QAM Adapter. So everything's been very consistent with the scheduling we've been looking at since the beginning of calendar 2017. And, you know, we've been talked about making rapid progress on the MoFi access node. We've been very focused on being interoperable from inception and, you know, made all the successive progress we need to see there from an engineering standpoint, you know, successful showings at multiple industry interop events, direct demos to multiple Tier 1 MSO customers. So by and large, the dev progress is really well on track, and, you know, the breadth of our ecosystem there in terms of products is one of the strongest in the market. But, you know, I want to head back towards the industry and market side of the equation a bit. And, you know, what we've observed in that sense is that MSOs are really continuing to make adjustments when they look at the volume phase of using distributed for gigabit service DOCSIS. And, you know, as you know, distributed is very much the Entra model. And, you know, of the two key Tier 1 MSO engagements we've talked about so far for Entra, both are incrementally progressing well, but the timing of trials and revenue remain difficult for us to pinpoint. You know, several moving pieces there. We have evolving standards, you know, fluid MSO deployment plans, the vendor ecosystem, readiness of that, interoperability I've talked a lot about, you know, practical realities, forklift network upgrade, hundreds of thousands of devices out in the plant, taking fiber deep, closer to homes at scale. And, you know, to elaborate a bit on the evolving standards, you know, key factor now is a move towards full duplex DOCSIS 3.1, which has become more and more relevant to the MSOs that they look at distributed access. It's really the mechanism to go with symmetrical gigabit services. And they're thinking about doing that as a single network upgrade cycle. So the thought process that's naturally happening here is that we've had all these reasons that Gen 1 distributed deployment, pre-full duplex stuff has not happened yet. And just now in calendar 18, the new development is that the full duplex chipset timing is crystallizing this year. So that gap has narrowed, and we have this natural occurrence where these MSOs are considering, shall we go all the way to full duplex for the volume phase? So all that said, you know, there's a relatively low amount of deployment in this calendar year we see because of these factors layering on top of each other. Trials for us this year, you know, mid-year still in view. You know, we're engaged up and down with tier 1s through 3, so we can expect lots of opportunity to go there. Deployment side, you know, late in the year, that's the soonest we could see uptick on one of the earliest to go.
Sounds like, you know, I know full duplex has been something that's been talked about in terms of symmetrical speeds, both download and upload. That, you know, it seemed like it might have been a little bit further away, but I guess it sounds like your conversations with these potential customers is that they may decide to maybe push out, you know, kind of this upgrade to a DA architecture and just wait, you know, for full duplex, you know.
Right. So, you know, full duplex is gaining a lot of momentum as kind of the ultimate solution, getting them to, you know, symmetrical gigabit 10.5, 10.10, what have you, depending on the setup. And they've, you know, organically in many ways gotten delayed in pushing the button on distributed to begin with. So as that timing has collapsed, we're narrowed quite a bit. You know, it's very, very organic for them to say, let's go to the end game now, you know, for the volume phase. We still think, you know, they have to get things moving this calendar year, but in a very low quantity respect for Generation 1. By and large, the very bulk of the market is flowing beyond this calendar year and looking at the full duplex nodes is driving it.
So potentially that could push out some commercial orders as guys wait for full duplex products to hit the market, I guess?
In some respects, you know, I think it's pushing up the short-term deployment activity. I don't think, you know, it's been a long enough period in development for distributed access in general that later in this calendar year, the activity has to get going. You know, they only have so much time before they have to maintain their competitive position on providing gigabit. You know, but again, with full duplex, we're seeing that crystallizing. And, you know, there could be delays in full duplex itself. You know, new chips are coming this year and whatnot. So all the vendors have to drive with those. So there's going to be, you know, this blending effect and timing effect of these two generations. Good side of that for us is that, you know, we're ready out of the gates, Gen 1. We're very well engaged on full duplex design as well. So we're going to play into that, and, you know, we're very closely engaged with a number of Tier 1s. So as their plans adjust, we'll be agile to handle that.
You're working on full duplex products that you can get into your customers' labs, I guess?
It's a natural continuation of the overall program. You know, this has already been a multi-year development. We've talked about the five products, you know, getting a very large ecosystem flowing. And every vendor, including us and others, are going to be looking at full duplex.
Getting back to the interoperability, I know that was kind of an issue early on, and you talked about some of the work you've been doing with some of the other vendors, in particular the incumbents. Can you talk about, I guess, where that is right now? You know, how much of an issue or is it with your MSO customers?
So we've made, you know, successive step-by-step great progress in interoperability in these industry events. You know, they've been happening very regularly, and in each turn we've progressed, you know, in checking off the checklist on interoperability. What's happening in parallel, though, is the overall state of development is adjusting. So when you have these core vendors, they're also the software releases on these cores are moving. And they're building up their features, so you even have this ebb and flow of things that were working, backing out, and then having to get re-restored. So this is a continuous effort that we've done, we feel very well with, and, you know, the list of successful other vendor interops that we've done is quite exciting to us. You know, as the MSOs go early, there's always, when you have a core and a node from the same vendor, that interoperability, of course, is going to be pretty much guaranteed. Whereas we are working very well at this, but there's moving targets in some sense.
Okay, just last question here, just relates to the concurrent acquisition here. Can you just talk about, you know, how the integration's going, you know, how your conversations with customers are going, and whether you still believe, you know, your target, I think it was $5.5 million U.S. adjusted EBITDA. How I guess reasonable that is, getting
right
that run rate in the next couple of quarters.
Yeah. So let me start with the financials. You know, revenue wise, concurrent in the prior entity reported Q1 $7.9 million or thereabouts. So they're already on pace towards this growth rate we were anticipating as of the close. So we're seeing, you know, that Q3 is headed in a direction that's consistent with our model. You know, in terms of the EBITDA, the synergies are, you know, effectively the early ones are nailed down very quickly. You know, upco costs and some of the executive staff. You know, we're seeing, like I said, that revenue and margin growth is already underway.
and, you know, between that and R&D deferrals and whatnot, we're feeling quite good about our call out of driving greater than $5.5 million run rate US. So financially everything's is working well there. You know, on the color side, we spent lots of time in Atlanta collectively. We have RGM that's been assigned living down there now, and John and I have spent several days there. So very good, as we anticipated. Through we learned through the diligence process, a lot of collective chemistry, in the sense that we've worked the same industry together as a people for so long, you know, the same set of customers. So that chemistry is very good, and the customer relationships are strong. They've got their own set of targets and opportunities that they're tracking that are very exciting, and you know, everything feels strong there, and it's an exciting time for us.
Thanks for the call, guys.
Thanks, David.
Appreciate it. Thank you, David.
As a reminder, if you would like a question, please press star and one. Our next question comes from Oliver Guerra of National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Oliver.
Good morning.
Hello. So, excuse me, I just joined the webcast late. So, I don't know if you talk about the telematics field, but I just want an overview about the telematics and your last investment on IQ.
Sure. So, you know, telematics is performing strongly as anticipated, and you know, as we've built as of our acquisition of Contigo for some time, we have we aren't reporting in a lot of detail there, but we have somewhere between 17,000 and 20,000 subscribers on the system. That's flowing recurring revenue and EBITDA in a good way. Also, you know, there's been a transition from 2G to 3G networks that we've run through now, and that was very successful. So, in a potentially challenging scenario, so that was completed. And there's some new developments, opportunities for growth based on assets. As you know, IoT, Internet of Things, is quite relevant in today's world, and that's already proving to be very relevant in the telematics space. And we're pursuing some growth opportunities around that. In tracking assets and restoration, et cetera. There's new regulations in the U.S. around hours of service compliance. That's, you know, built some new revenue opportunities for us. We've done some software to support them and that compliance to that regulation. That's working for the customers for which it's relevant. AirIQ-wise, again, that's a organization we've been tracking for some time. 20-year-old Canadian company, we own 21% now. And we've been following the company for some time and see them, you know, do some good work, growing revenue modestly, cash flow, and they even made a recent acquisition, so built up their base a little bit. So we're continuing to observe that and monitor that. We'll engage with management and understand the business at much more depth and take it from there in terms of what the next step may be.
Okay, and just regarding the sector in general, so I just want your point of view. What do you think about telematics? Do you see a more cyclical sector or a sector becoming more like a secular bull market? So just one comments about that.
We still think that the market's in a secular rollout phase. You know, we've seen on the vehicle side, going from 10, 20, 30, 40% penetration, maybe at the top end of all the vehicles rolling out there. We have new regulatory issues in the U.S. And, you know, on the asset side, it's so untapped on IoT that, there's such a large scale happening there. So we're still looking at it being in a secular phase of potential growth, very large market. Penetration rate is not very high at this point, so we're nowhere near saturation. A lot of opportunity for for potential scale out through M&A, and that remains, you know, of interest to us to build scale, and you know, it remains an exciting industry in its own right.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, and continue and keep up the good works. Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes time allotted for questions on today's call. This concludes the conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.